Okay, I'm Chris, and I have the honor of introducing our speaker, Michael Kay. Yeah, I'll give you a 10-minute warning.
He already told you, my name is Michael, initial K, thank you. And happy birthday to the birthday people. I'm glad it was also pre-announced that next month will be a special on CBS with our founder. Who I had the pleasure of meeting. I don't know if anybody else here ever had the pleasure of meeting. There used to be a Palm Springs Roundup. I don't know whether any of you ever attended to it. It was an AA, Roundup with Al-Anon participation, and Our Lady was there, I think one of the last times she was well enough to make a trip to the West Coast. And we had a talk, in fact, and Betty Ford would come to the last night of the Roundup. It was a three-day weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Sunday evening, Betty Ford would come and pay respects to the primary program. And Lois and I had a few words. I was very grateful to have met her. And she said, Michael, don't you understand? In Al-Anon, other people are our drink. Oh, that's what went on in my life. Well, my life, if I live until September, October, I will have 31 years in recovery. Thank you for the applause. It hasn't all been that much fun. Let me tell you about it. Also, I hope, I just brought these as clues to in some of the things I like to share with the program. I don't know if any of you have been to a major international AA convention. This was the 1995 convention, when I was still with her, in San Diego. And it's a remarkable thing because it was held in the stadium. It was just renovated or built in San Diego. And they had thousands and thousands and thousands of people from all over the world on the opening, and 3 days later, on the closing, holding hands and saying the Serenity Prayer in 27 different languages. It's quite an experience. You see, it's an international problem, drinking too much. It sure is. It sure is. I've tried to carry the message whenever I've traveled, and I'd like to suggest to all of you, whenever you decide to take a trip, call Central Office and ask them where the nearest Al-Anon Central Office is in the particular country. They even have English-speaking meetings in Canada. Can you imagine? And in Paris, and in London. To carry the message is to keep the message, to celebrate the message that I am powerless over alcohol, but my life became unmanageable. My life, my life. Well, my life started 81 years ago in Nueva York, and my natural mother died in my birth. Called abandonment, I guess. I don't know. I don't remember very well. I was put on a shelf in an orphanage, and then it seems that the older sister of the natural father, who was no bargain, had possibly the first hysterectomy in the United States. I don't know. This is all ancient history. But I was taken off the shelf and adopted by that wonderful couple. Wonderful. My mommy and daddy. And we did quite well, because when I was a child, my father was a very, very, very successful. Now, don't get up and run out of the room. He was a handicapper in those days, and I have the headlines from the New York newspapers that he was a celebrated sportsman. And I was raised with the racing form on the table and whatever every day. I don't know one end of a horse. I think the tail is on the back of the horse. I couldn't tell. I did go to the track all the time, and because of our situation, I sat in the boxes with those lovely people that celebrate that sport of kings. And, you know, we sort of migrated because we're not supposed to have retroactive laws in the United States. And after he had been celebrated as his handicap in the New York newspapers, that's not Podunk, Iowa, that's New York City, it went state by state to being illegal. Do you get that? State by state, off-track betting became illegal. My father was not a good adjuster, and I don't even, and that in those days there wasn't even program probably, and he was not in it, he never was. In fact, my parents, they drank, never to excess. My mother's was Harvey's Bristol Cream, it's a sherry or something like that. My father liked Johnny Walker Black Label, and they never got out of hand. It was never a problem in my childhood, my life. But we migrated, as I say, in a covered wagon to California in 1938. Why didn't he buy real estate? Because he lived in an apartment, and you live in an apartment all your life. You could have bought Wilshire Boulevard, dummy, for a dollar an acre. We didn't know. We didn't know. And he booked horses here. He did. He booked horses here, and then it became a little difficult even here. It encroached illegal, but you could sort of book on the county, the Sunset Strip. I don't know whether you have any idea or ever heard of corruption in those offices that look at it. You could pay somebody and keep your office open, whatever. And anyway, that was the story of my life, taking risk. I mean, as a child, we always had food on the table. It was difficult. It was difficult. I'm just giving you a little background history of the glamour of my early childhood, because to make the rent, he also, and I don't think anybody here is old enough to remember a restaurant south of Hollywood Boulevard on Vine Street called Mike Lyman's. See, I am a person of history. Anyway, it was right next to the theater, which is not there anymore. So many of the things I grew up with, remember, the Huntington Hartford, it's not there. But anyway, he would play in the back room. It was a restaurant in the back room. They had a card game going, and he would, at least, if nothing else, he was a very good card player. And he would play gin with a couple of people. Some of you may remember. One of them was Jimmy Durante. And the other one was Sophie Tucker. And they loved to play cards for money, but it was protected by the restaurant, and we at least paid the rent. It was a struggle. Now, I learned in that childhood that I would never, ever, 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 never, ever go gamble. That's a very nervous and unpleasant place to be, so I wasn't a gambler. I got into showbiz. Also, I was born of that year, what do they call it? Before P.S., plastic surgery. Now I look at it all and I don't know what you're getting, the last operation or something like that, but they didn't in those days, and so if you had some sort of a possibility, they took you off the street, and I absolutely grew up with that, and I was invited in with it. And at this point in my share, I always get very emotional because I was a very young wannabe, would-be. My agent just passed away. She also was 81. Nina Blanchard. But a friend of mine also, who was a wannabe, tried to be, and actually made it, and bless her, I don't think the program was founded already, because I wish she had joined Adult Children. She never got to be that much of an adult, but if you might just have an idea when I tell you who, dear, dear person. Her name was Marilyn. Need I say more? If only they had Adult Child. That was a later part of the Al-Anon program, Adult Child. I sponsor someone now who is an adult child, and I hear those problems are a little more special. You go home, and mommy or daddy are there on the floor, and dinner isn't served. It's a big betrayal of relationships. That's what drugs and alcohol, it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out, at least that's what I knew. But anyway, In my day, I took my heroes off that place that I later joined. Never got onto that. I got onto the small screen. But everybody lived when the lights went up after you had a double feature, and you had a newsreel, and you had a Mickey Mouse, and all for 25 cents. Sure. Okay, Michael. But everybody went home and lived happily ever after. Now, isn't that a great place to be, happy ever after? Why not? All you had to do is fix something. There was always a problem. The beginning, the middle, and the end, and the music went up, and everybody felt great, and they didn't kill each other, and life was wonderful, and it was happy ever after. Nobody would have ever tried that with a drunk, would they? Would they? But then there are all those women that happened to come in my life, and I happened to play. I was young once, children. And then I met her. And then I met her. And of course, where did I meet her? I met her at a bar. Her was sitting down there at the end of the bar, very well placed, I noticed. And she needed a ride home, and so I gave her a ride home. And of course, by that time, I think, if I don't remember the total chronology, I think Sophia had hit our knowledge, those wonderful accents. And this came from another place, because I traveled a great deal in the world, and this was from a place I'd never been to, Casablanca. But it was a glamorous name from a country I'd never visited, and she spoke many languages. And she certainly was built. And I took her home. And this part gets very interesting, because I'm not sure, I figured it out, but she got pregnant. How does that happen? She got pregnant. But she also had a child who didn't know who her father was, who was 7 years old. Beautiful, beautiful young lady, who took one look at me, put her arms around me, and won't let go. Well, now this is, you know, when I heard that she was pregnant, I don't know how that happened, and so forth, we had a bit of a discussion, because I wasn't really ready, I was 35 by that time, to move into marriage, I mean, yes, but the emotional differences, I don't know whether you ever saw Never on Sunday, any of you remember that movie? Yes, oh yes, my ex spoke many languages, and if you remember when Jules Dassin asked the marvelous Melina McCurry, how did you learn that language? I won't even mention now, but there was an answer in the movie. In bed. Anyway, and I wasn't sure I wanted to move into that relationship. However, 4 months after my son was born, I did move into that relationship. And then the fun began. And then the fun began. It was never a very pleasant... You know, my main story is that I was an only child. I think I told you that in the very beginning in Nueva York and even out here. I was very lonely all my life because I was always... You don't bring anybody home because daddy's in the back on the telephone booking horses or whatever it was. I wasn't totally social. Academically, I was even diagnosed, and I have to tell you right now, you're listening to a genius because... You're laughing. I'm a diagnosed genius. How many of you can say that? I graduated from my alma mater, which I understand it's closed. I'm going to go by there. I'm speaking at another engagement next month. But my alma mater is Camarillo. Camarillo U, up the coast. I was 17 or 18 when they sort of encouraged me to take a little vacation up there, and they gave me all the tests, and they said, without a doubt, intellectually, you are practically off the, you know, very bright. But you will always have problems. Oh, I mean, happy ever after isn't a reality? Little did I know. I'm going back and forth in my history, because I was 35 when I finally met and married her. Now, as I said, as a child, I was terribly lonely. But if you're married to a practicing alcoholic, you're never really lonely. There's a lot of noise in the house. And it's usually the neighbors at 4 a.m, shut up, keep quiet. There are the police. And there were the therapists, because little did I know, I mean, after all, I'm very bright. I've told you how intelligent I am. So we went to the therapist, cost me a small fortune. And you know, in those days, I think it's improved slightly. But the profession did not understand addiction. But they took your money. I think they've improved. Let's hope they have. I lasted for 5 years, and then I abandoned that family. I moved 8 blocks away. Because being in the business in another sense now, I was in another part of the business, and the business meant that I would get a call from which I don't know where studio, and I could be on in West Hollywood. You just go over Coenga to Disney or whatever, and you go across Robertson to, you know, MG or whatever, and half the studios don't exist anymore like they did in my day. and right down Santa Monica to 20th Century Fox. In fact, when I was there at Fox with that young lady I just mentioned earlier, it was all of Century City. I am a person of history. We had our own bridge over Olympic Boulevard. It was called the Shirley Temple Bridge. I don't know whether you'd ever realize that. It was only a two-lane highway that was dedicated by Shirley Temple in 1939 when she was 10. When she was 10. How times have changed. How the world has changed. How the population has changed. Why didn't Daddy buy real estate? Anyway. And I didn't know anything about it either. I was always a cliff dweller. Even when I was doing quite well, I still just rented an apartment, a very nice apartment in a nice place. And never thought of owning anything until I was 5 years out of that first relationship, eight blocks away, when I met, you know, her. I was introduced to her. Now, I was also told at that time she might have a drinking problem. A drinking problem? Yes, you might want to look into Al-Anon. Al-Anon, what is that? Well, I don't know. It's a, you know, other 12-step program. So I went, you know, I mean, I don't really go those neighborhoods, but I went all the way into Hollywood on Kingsley and some funny little church, and I climbed the stairs. And I went to this Al-Anon meeting, and I mean, after the meeting was over, they said, are there any newcomers here? And I raised my hand, and they said, yes. And I said, well, you know, I am very taken with a very beautiful young lady, a ballerina that danced into my life, who might have a drinking problem. Well, when the laughter died down, the laughter, I mean, don't they know who drove all the way into Hollywood at Kingsley and up that silly little church, and I raised my hand, and they laughed at me? Well, I was out of there in a minute. But life progresses. I married that young lady because I could handle it. All I have to do is tell her not to drink. Is that, you know, I'm a legend in my own mind. And we married, and it was company again, because there were the neighbors at 4 a.m, and they were the therapist I paid for. Now I really began to understand. And then, you know, I don't know if it still exists that way, because there was the consideration of the law in a way of my particular relationship with her. And I paid for the lawyers for the 502s. But everybody has a higher power, and it works in their favor, I'm sure. And one night she had a disagreement with me. It was, why are you drinking? Or whatever it was. I don't like your nail polish. Who knows? And she stormed out of the house. Of course, she was under the influence, and I was under the influence of telling her everything that she needed to know. This child was 15 years younger than me. And she stormed out of the house, and she got in her car, and she drove down there in West Hollywood, and she sort of got on Beverly Boulevard, if any of you are familiar with that area of the city, where it sort of gets together with Santa Monica Boulevard. But she didn't quite make it to Santa Monica Boulevard. She sort of fell asleep with the motor running. And while she's asleep, the car just sort of trickled across the intersection and across the lanes into the black Mercedes held by the assistant district attorney of Beverly Hills. Ooh, we have a problem, sweetheart. We have a problem. And I got a phone call also at 6 a.m. I don't usually get up at 6 a.m. But I'm in this place with all these women of the night. I mean, I don't know what me. I mean, come in. Of course, I went and I had to get an attorney and bail her out. And she had a court time that we went to with that attorney, in which she was remanded, and this is the part I don't know if it still works in the same way, that she was told that she had to attend. Other than going, and she's not from this, another foreigner from down under, that she would, if she didn't attend to this 12-step recovery program, she was going to get assigned, put away. Okay, all righty, fine. By this time, this woman was in 38 or 40, I don't know. She couldn't drive by herself. I have to take care of her. And this other little 12-step program, which was a court-assigned one, she had to get a card signed every day. Every time she went, I took her, because, you know, I'm taking care of everything, making sure everything's right. And she kept slipping, and she kept drinking so she could get through the hour and a half or whatever the meeting was all about. And finally, what I would like to think of as her first sponsor called me in and said, "Michael, do you love your wife?" "Love my wife? I adore the woman. I adore her." She says, "Michael, I've asked you before. Now, would you please go to an Al-Anon meeting, really go to an Al-Anon meeting?" And it's fun because when I look back and I get very sentimental at meetings, I understand it may have started again after many, many years. There was a meeting on Monday night in Rodeo in Beverly Hills in Santa Monica, and I went in there. I went there. And my first sponsor, who happened to be a woman, who I sort of identified with some of her sharing, she was also a part of my business, and she said, "Michael, if I'm going to sponsor you, I want you to take the cotton out of your ears and stick it in your mouth." Now, I think that's a rather direct and good advice for a beginning, unrecovered Al-Anon. What's it all about? Oh, yes, yes. And I kept coming back. I kept coming back. And she slipped again under the court program. And then she was assigned, as I was going to Al-Anon, I kept my mouth shut, but the court called her in, and she was assigned to some recovery house, I'm not sure it even exists, in Pasadena or something, a Vespa house, that's it. I don't know whether the Vespa house still exists, I see some nodding heads. And you know, that I drove her there because she's now 38, or 40, I mean, she couldn't drive by herself, of course, and I drove and dumped her there. And they said, just, you know, take a week's, whatever it was. And I was no sooner home than I got this phone call from this young lady. Do you know that she couldn't stay there because they didn't iron the sheets? This falling down drunk couldn't stay at that house because they didn't iron the sheets. But miracles do happen in all the programs. That's why they exist and they continue. And she eventually got sober. She eventually got sober and our life got better. And I kept going to Al-Anon. And I got another sponsor. I got sponsees even. I can't believe it. People who actually think I have something to say. Some of them don't agree with me at all. They've moved back to Iowa just to get away from me. My most favorite and last sponsor is up there. It's called leukemia. None of us stay here forever. But also I want to say that the fellowship of the rooms, and particularly for the men, the men's stag, because the maleness that I came from was John Wayne. He never cried. He didn't have feelings. He was lucky if Maureen kissed him. Maureen told me to buy this one. I was at a jeweler in Beverly Hills, and I was thinking about it, and she said, and I looked, his voice came out, and he said, "Buy it, you deserve it." And I looked into that gorgeous face. Anyway, where am I in my story? My daughter was so taken with my wife's recovery. My wife already identified in her recovery, she understood what was going on. I'm still a naive Al-Anon. But my daughter-in-law finally admitted she might have a problem with something, snow. She'd always have to go to, 3 or 4 times in a half-hour visit to us, she had to go to the bathroom. And my wife, she said, "Don't you see it on her? This white powder?" There's all kinds of addictions, I guess. But then eventually, she was so taken with the miracle of my wife's recovery and the betterment of our lives that she decided to join CA. I see. Cocaine Anonymous. And she did, and she maintained her cleanness for a long time. And then she met this turkey. Anyway. Who was a security, whatever, of USC downtown. And he'd walk the grounds with the dogs because who knows, they're going to steal the books or something. But he lived in some community, I think it's in California, Ontario, is someplace, way up there. And they sort of had a relationship. And then they got married because I was thinking, having to share tonight, that the reception was about the Queen Mary in those days. I don't know whether it still works, but they give you, allow you to rent some space, and it was all very charming. We drove down to Long Beach, my wife and I. And they lived in Ontario for a while. Alrighty, I don't know how much more time do I have. How much?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, great. Okay. Anyway, so thank you, because I'd like to keep it. I don't know where I'm at. That's my story of my life. I don't know where I'm at. About 10, 12 years ago, my wife, now we were also, by the way, like I like to share this, to get those directories from all over the world. We did travel with the program. They have English-speaking meetings in Mexico City. Isn't that nice? And we attended that. They even have English-speaking meetings in Australia, because it's hard to understand their English. And we attended that too. And it's marvelous to be in a meeting and leading a meeting in Melbourne, and somebody says, do you know Clancy? And then we went to a meeting at the top of the Victoria's Peak in Hong Kong. It was a big, 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 huge AA meeting. And how touching that somebody came up to say, oh, Michael, yes, I heard you share in Beverly Hills. Small world. Small world. And then about 8, 9, 10, I can't keep up with it, years ago, my wife said she wanted to talk to me. She had something to discuss with me. And she certainly had something to discuss with me, because she sat us down and on the couch, which also, by the way, of our townhouse, down from the You Name It studio, because I was had a position that was not going to change then. I bought a townhouse right down the street. And by then, I think I had retired. I don't know, I'm retired many years now. But she wanted me to understand that she had gone to an attorney and she wanted a divorce. That did not sit too well with me. That did not sit too well with me. Now, intellectually, we did not get along. Physically, we did. Because, as I said, I married a bikini, and this one was certainly a bikini. Oh, my God, she's a ballerina with boobs. Unbelievable. She could eat more than any one of you, and as much as any, and never weigh more than 104 pounds. I don't know. It's all genetics. This OA program, and forget it, it's genetics. She's just... No. True. I mean, it was marvelous. It just, and I, of course, I loved it, whatever. You know, I was taken with Merle Oberon in that Napoleon on a picnic, and she had all the push-ups when I was a child. That impressed me for the rest of my life. Anyway, she was definitely going to leave me for her next husband. And she did. And I had a nervous breakdown. And as far as I know, she's still with her next husband, Jennifer. Like I say, I think my share should be on the Oprah Winfrey Show. But no offense, if that's your choice, but not after 18 years of, or whatever, 20 years of marriage. Took a long time and a sort of a little visit and a stay in the hospital, because I am a recovering suicide. This really set me for the loop. And she told me very knowledgeably, you were never going to let me retire. You never... I would hand her the check. Will you sign the check so I think that you understand what's going on? Because I took care of all the books, everything. And everything was okay. And by that time, I hadn't worked for 9 years or something. And I just signed the check so I think you understand what a mortgage is. You were never going to let me, and you never asked. You never bothered yourself. We made every sale at Nordstrom's. That was fine. That was okay. And after a little... week at St. John's in Santa Monica was a friend of ours from the program arranged, because I had called out. I called out. I knew that I was going to go back to my old behavior and slit my wrists, because I couldn't understand this. I don't. I still to this day don't know. Because if you've never seen her husband Jennifer, I mean, at least was gorgeous like I used to be. But anyway, no, it all proceeded. She's with Jennifer now, still sober, the best I know. And we used to finally had sort of made some sort of a bridge of a relationship, and I would have dinner with her once a month in Beverly Hills. And she once told me towards one of the last meetings I had was, I wish I had children. Now you wish you had children? Now? 22 years too late, and what you put me through, what you went through, you know, boys, what we have to go, and what the girls know, what they have to go. So you don't have children? Who, go figure, go figure. This is my story. I hope I'm not boring you, but it happens to be my story, and it bothers me from time to time if I think about it. Not anymore. Say to my first wife. Say, Fanny, that's it, it's finished, it's over. I thought that was a very strange, because I even asked when we moved into the townhouse, like, I may be repeating myself, do you would like to adopt a 5-6-year-old? I love children. You won't have to diaper whoever. You don't have to worry. It's big. The townhouse is quite large. No. But I'm an Al-Anon, and I can't make anybody else's mind up for them, even if they decide to make their mind up 10 or 15 years later. At least that's their story, not mine. My story is survival. My story is the people I know, the family that I have in these rooms and around the world, that displaced the loneliness is still a core issue with me. It's still a core issue. I still live in that townhouse. I have wonderful neighbors, a family of neighbors. I have a son who's gifted me with 2 grandchildren, a beautiful daughter-in-law. Life goes on while we make other plans. I don't know whether I mentioned to you that 6 months, because I always remember my wife's magnificent announcement that she was going on to her third husband, Jennifer, a sister under the same AA sponsor, by the way, which didn't, okay. And I was in tears the next night talking with a sponsee at the Miramar in Santa Monica, when across the television in the barroom that we were talking about mentioned that Princess Di had a slight problem in the tunnel in Paris. So I don't forget that date. And you all remember that date. My date, but it is also the date for Princess Di. But 6 months after that, my son called me and said his sister had been killed, shot. My daughter will always be 39. No more. That has never been solved either. Never been solved. This thing that she was married to had nothing but guns and police dogs in the house. He may have been suspect, but never nothing to say. And the police sergeant who knew from Ontario or whatever it was called me, or when I called him, and how are you doing with the case? And let's find out. I mean, is it not going to bring back my daughter? Said, sir, you have no idea how many don't get solved. Unsolvable problems. The problem is that her life was over. My problem was going and put one foot in front of the other, but I have the fellowship of the men I sponsor. And they circled the wagons one more time. And they held me in their arms. And they held me up. They gave me love. Man to man, love. How extraordinary. How extraordinary. And they encouraged me to keep coming back. And that's why we're here tonight. To just keep coming back. I don't know. We might have a flat tire going back to Culver City tonight. Oh my God. I don't know. Having just celebrated my 81st birthday, I think a lot of, okay, Michael. In fact, one of my sponsees is suffering, unfortunately, with shingles, which I understand is a very uncomfortable and dreadful disease, and which was suggests, why don't you go get a vaccination, because it's much more serious than people of your maturity. When I told my son, he said, Dad, don't you remember you had shingles already? And having had shingles, you don't get them again. You are now immune if you survived. I had a painful episode many years ago. I don't remember. The mind is going. The hair went a long time ago, but the mind is gone. I wear a hat to cover the skin cancer because, even when I got in the business, my first time in the business, because they were all so glamorous. You see, I came into the business in black and white. And then they had, all of a sudden, Technicolor. And they all looked so fabulous, Earl Flynn, and all those people, and tan, and fantastic, and I'm sure it was a suntan, until I had my first run-in with some makeup, and makeup man said, no, no, Dumbo, it's Max Factor, Light Egyptian number 3. But my only sport, I've never been a great, that kind of sport, but I love the ocean. I'm sure that we all crawled out of there a few eons ago. Now, I find this to be a spiritual program, and yet I'm a devout agnostic. I'm speaking in a place of particular beliefs. I carry the message whenever I'm asked. I believe in a power to go higher. Are you going to come with the hook? I have 3 minutes. I'll keep my clothes on. Because that's a very important part. I've sponsored men that are very, very devout in their particular choice. I believe in, if you add another word to the word God, I don't know who God, what God is, but I know if you add another letter, I know what good is. It's very practical. You can leave this room tonight and do good. You can do good. No question about good. We know good from bad. Gives you energy. Gives you hope. Gives you a good life, too. Give you a good life. You walk a good line. Keep good in your life. Share it with your friends, family. And then you have the gift of the fellowship, like I say, all over the world, even here. Where are we? I don't know. La Cañada, yes, okay. I was here once before because some friends remember me, but I don't adventure out further than Culver City very often, in Brentwood for the Men's Stag on Tuesday. And it's a fabulous meeting, the Men's Stag. It really is. If you guys are over there for any reason, business or what, think about dropping into a stag meeting. You haven't got all of those pretty distractions. And you can, and we have tears in the Men's Stag too. Men get to cry. And they celebrate just one day at a time and one step at a time, admitting that you're powerless. A man admits that he's powerless. Till you get to the last 3 steps, having had a spiritual awakening, an awakening of the spirit. The payoff for the effort. And all you have to do is listen to the good advice. The good advice is the serenity prayer, opens and certainly ends most every meeting. And the big suggestion, keep coming back. That's all you have to do. That's what I've done for 30 years. You've been a gift in my life, and it's been a gift to be asked to carry my message out here tonight. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.